You may have wondered why Walter didn't read that other verse, and so just to know that it wasn't his fault, I asked him not to, because as I was preparing the sermon, I thought, that's just going to take us in a direction that I'm not sure I want to distract you with. So you get a focus on walking by faith, not by sight, and change in the world instead. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, descend on us now and lend to us your wisdom and our understanding. Amen. It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but your time is finally here. I can feel the wind of change right now, and nothing's in your way, because they're not going to hold you down. You've got faith of the heart. You're going where your heart will take you. You've got faith to believe you can do anything. You've got strength of the soul, and no one's going to bend or break you. You can reach any star. You've got faith. Faith of the heart. Not long ago, I was standing waiting for a bus at Richmond Center, and there was a man some of you may have seen, and he was standing preaching at the commuters. He had a long robe, and he had messy black hair and a big carved staff, and he was shouting at us, "The end of the world is at hand! Prepare for the coming of the Lord!" United Church ministers don't get to do that very often. That was great. So I am here to announce to you today that for some of us in this room, the end of the world is at hand. Do any of you remember that old REM song, old REM pop song? It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. Better than fine. You may actually feel euphoric. For some of us, there has been a world of school that has gone back 13 or more years to kindergarten, and now graduation. So really, you've been preparing for the end of this world for nigh on to 13 years. So if your friends, your parents, maybe your grandparents, the world ends. A new world begins. At this time, we're focused on these people graduating from school and high school and university, different kinds of education, but for so many of us, the world is about to end. A child moves away from home. A job ends, or you sell your house and plan a great move. It's the end of the world as we know it. Someone we have depended on moves, and it's the end of the world as we know it. Somebody new moves in. It's the end of the world as we know it. An incredible opportunity presents itself, and we leave behind what has gone before, and a world ends, and a whole new world begins. So for our graduates, our movers, our empty nesters, our friends, we move into a new world that we can't yet see. We imagine possibilities. We plan for what we hope for. We prepare for a future that we can't see. There is an old proverb that goes, "We plan, God laughs." Because the future God holds for us is infinitely more varied than we can imagine. When I graduated from high school, the idea that I would one day stand up in a pulpit and be a minister was the farthest thing from my mind. Another example, when a nerdy little guy graduated from a Seattle high school in 1973, no one, even him, Bill Gates, imagined the new world that was beginning. And if you can imagine someone asking Bill on his graduation, "So, what do you want to do when you grow up?" And if Bill really could have seen the future and he said, "Well, I'm going to change the world so that the way people communicate, do business, keep in touch with their grandchildren, store pictures, do shopping, everything will change, and I'm going to be the richest man on earth." And you can imagine that they would have said to his parents, "I think you need to get him some psychiatric care." When Mahalia Yousafzai was shot in Pakistan in 2012, no one imagined that the future held for her not just suffering but triumph, that she would become a beacon of hope for people struggling for education in every part of the world. Or another young man who was a student at university who was well known for not being studious but for carousing, drinking, womanizing. When people asked Thomas Merton, "What are you going to do when you grow up?" I don't think he ever said, "Well, I'm going to be a monk who wants to be a hermit, but I'm going to travel the world bringing people of different faiths together for peaceful conversation." We don't know what the future holds for us, this new world that is being created around us and by us. Neither did the people in a small Christian community in Corinth 2,000 years ago. The world was about to change, and they did know it. And they demanded of Paul the Apostle an answer to this question: what is going to happen? How will we live? We thought the world would end and we would be swept up into glory, and then we'd know what to do. And it hasn't happened yet. And Paul answers, "We long to be at home in God." That's that whole business about the tent. "But he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, in this we have confidence." As the future unfolds in wonder and awe, in difficulty and confusion, we remember we've got faith of the heart. We're going where our hearts will take us. We've got faith to believe we can do anything. We have strength of the soul, and we will not be bent or broken. We can reach any star. We know very little about the future, except that the only way to walk before it, walk toward it, is by faith, not by sight. So I'm going to leave you with this prayer from Thomas Merton, who said he never really could see the road ahead, never knew what was coming, but that each day he walked by faith, not by sight. Let us pray. "My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. No, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing that. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I do. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may not know anything about it. Therefore will I trust. I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will not leave me to face my perils alone. Amen." Together on eagle's wings.